We all have them. Some, I would argue, we're pretty conscious of and why we move in certain directions, and others, I think, are such deep-seated needs, or even I think they operate at a subconscious level. And what I'm talking about is divergent aspirations. So just think about it for a second. No one of the what are we at, 7 billion people on this planet, just shy of that? Nobody, not one of those people, have the same exact aspirations as you do, right? Each one of us differs. That's what divergent means, is differing. And aspirations is simply hopes, ambitions, or things that we have a desire to accomplish. It's part of what makes us unique to ourselves. I think some of that is God's wiring. Also, it's just our circumstances, the things that we find ourselves in, the age that we exist in, the technology, all these things feed into this mess. And let's face it, I would argue that some of those things are very, very good to have, and others of our aspirations simply get us into trouble. I mean, have you ever had a major divergent aspiration with a spouse? How'd that tend to go? A boss. How about your teenage child? So what am I getting at? You know, some of you are sitting there, I can tell by the looks on your face, you're like, okay, where's Pastor? So here's my point, simply this. Each of us have different hopes, things that we want to or need to and accomplish. And in the midst of all of that, we need to be wise in how we navigate them in order to, as Christ followers, to make sure that we are following Christ and doing exactly what he intends and all of that. Because when we look at those different aspirations, some of them are God, some of them are us. And so we have to be able to navigate that stuff. So we're going to be looking at a story this morning. If you turn to 871, we're going to be reading the entire chapter of John 9. So if you aren't one that usually turns, you might want to. And this story is loaded with exactly what I'm talking about here. So starts on 871. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work with the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am in the light of the world." When he has said this, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am that man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes open?" He answered, "The man Nick called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes and I washed and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that through him I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us, and they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, surely, we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. So hopefully as I read that, some of those ideas of two differing opinions kind of jumped on you. And we're just going to, this morning, rattle through some of these, and I'm not going to reread all that scripture since I already did it. And so we're just going to unpack this a little bit. So first part here, verse 1 through 3, we have two different people or two different groups that are here. First one, the disciples. His disciples said, so they come across this blind guy, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So this sermon is going to be a little different. I'm going to make you preach it with me. I'm going to ask you a little question. So when you see what the disciples say, what could be their aspirations? What is their goal, or what are they trying to achieve when they say this? They're placing blame? Again, we're going to do some speculating this morning. That's okay. We're filling in the gaps. So placing blame. Okay, so judgment. They're making a judgment call. So that guy was blind. So obviously somebody along the line did something. They might be having a desire to learn, right? They've been walking with Jesus. I mean, in all these, we don't have to speculate the negatives. They might be honestly going, hey, okay, so what gives here, right? And then compare this to what Jesus says, right? So first he says, he saw a man blind from birth. And I think, again, this is one of those things that you could really read over quickly and not grasp hold of. There's a whole sermon here. So in this situation, this guy who had suffered from birth, we have no idea how old he is. Obviously, Jesus sees the disability, but he also sees the person. He sees this man. He sees his worth. He sees his uniqueness. He sees him with the eyes of God. He looked at this situation completely different than the disciples, right? They all rolled up together. The disciples' first knee-jerk reaction is what? Well, who did what? Why is this guy suffering? Jesus, he sees the disability and he sees the man. Then we see something else here. And Jesus says he was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. Where the disciples saw a deficiency, Jesus saw an opportunity to bring glory. I got one person paying attention. Where the disciples saw a deficiency, Jesus saw an opportunity to bring glory to God. How guilty are we of this on a regular basis? Right? Our world is broken. We try not to be judgmental because, you know what, we know good Christians aren't supposed to be. But like I said, I think some of this even operates on a subconscious level. We view people and we don't see them as someone that God loves. We don't see them as someone that God would love to work in their lives. We don't usually see bad situations as, hey, this is an opportunity to glorify God. Our aspirations should not be divergent from Jesus. Here's the thing. Throughout this, throughout the scriptures, Jesus didn't just come to share his truth. He came to show us how to live. And so when we're interacting with other people, Every day, I would argue, you come across an opportunity to glorify God in some situation where your knee-jerk human reaction is not that. And why? Because you're looking at it through human eyes, whereas God invites us to see things like he does. So moving on, verses 13 and 14. Right, so they bring this guy, he's healed. The whole mud in the eye thing, I've preached on that before. I don't understand why Jesus had to do it that way, but whatever, it worked. So they brought to the Pharisees. So we see again, we see these two sides. So first, Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So what are Jesus' aspirations here? What's his, why is he doing what he's doing? So to bring glory to God, he's bringing healing. Anybody else? He's teaching. He's showing compassion, all those things. That's Jesus' MO throughout the New Testament. This was his, how he operated. But then we see the flip side, which is identified by this. Now it was the Sabbath day. This is pointing to exactly the Pharisees. So the Pharisees see this guy who was blind from birth. So this is significant. You know, if somebody goes blind, it's a disease or something, and so maybe the disease could refuse. If you're born blind, you might not even have eyeballs. I mean, I remember seeing people in Haiti that were born blind. They didn't even have anything. And so the fact that Jesus packed them with mud and this happened, this is significant. But the Pharisees don't see the miracle. What do they see? Okay, broke a rule. They saw it as a sin. Maybe maintaining the rules. They saw themselves as the vanguard of the rules of God, and so that was their job. But even so, I mean, I think sometimes, and it's easy to do, we can always see the negative about Pharisees. I would say there's probably some Pharisees that were honestly trying to worship God, to seek God. Again, the old system was still in play. We go look and say, man, Jesus shows up, he's doing miracles. Hundreds of years of tradition are hard to give up, right? And so I do think some of these Pharisees were honestly saying, we were given these rules. We were supposed to keep the, you know, and so Jesus came to broke that apart. But so this is, again, we see these two different aspirations, people coming to the same situation and seeing very different things. Why do you think Jesus was willing to break the rules? The Pharisees had taken their eyes off the prize. See, here's the thing. With God, people always matter. Again, those people, the person that you can't, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, that person that you can't stand, whether they're a certain group in society, whether they just drive you, guess what? God loves them as much as he loves you. And if you're like me, that grates me, right? It's just like, God, how do you love them? My word, Lord, you made me a pastor. My whole life is about serving you, and they don't give a rip about you. They're actually working against you. How in the world can you love them? Just like, I'm glad he's God and I'm not, right? And so we get that. And so we see this. People matter. And here's the other thing I think Jesus showed. It doesn't matter the circumstances you were in. It's always right to show compassion. It might be hard, might be difficult, but you showing the compassion of God, you can't go, right? Love never fails. What was that, a couple weeks ago? That whole concept? We looked at that. So, does your mindset ever get in the way of loving people? Ooh, showing compassion. Yeah, it does. It's hard. Here's the thing. You don't have to agree with someone to show them love. If that was the case, then who we loved in this world would be a very small group. There might be people, I would guarantee, in a non-denom church, there would be people that we share the pews with we wouldn't love because we are not all in agreement on all things. It's just the way, but we don't have to be in agreement. So again, we see this idea of different aspirations in the divergence. So jump into verse 16 and 17. I see three distinct views here. Again, the Pharisees show up, right? This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. So not only are they, again, defending the rules here, but they're up in the ante. What are they doing? They're making a judgment call. And they're condemning. So not only is it, oh, this guy's no, oh, he doesn't observe, so he's a sinner. I think what we see here, though, what part of the Pharisees' issue was pride. And a little side nugget for you again. Pride is a major cause of divergence in our aspirations. Think about that. When your pride gets in the way, it changes, right? Because why? Because either I know what's best, or I deserve. We get in so much trouble, even as Christians, when our pride speaks loudly in our life, so loud that we don't hear the whispers of the Spirit and what Jesus Christ is calling us to. And I think part of the Pharisees, they knew what they knew. They were so secure in what they knew that, again, a guy who had been blind from birth is restored in sight, and it wasn't even a speed bump. Here it is, and they're just going up. The guy's no good. Then we see another group, right? But others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. Still Pharisees. So what are their aspirations? They're honestly seeking for truth. I mean, this is something experiential, literally staring right at you, and you have to deal with it. You have to hold it up against your theology. So they're open to new information. They're obviously are willing possibly to change, even though they might be uncomfortable with it. Is that another sermon for Christians? God might want you to change even if you're uncomfortable with it, even if it's not what you really want to do. And then we have the blind guy again. He says he's a prophet. So what's the blind man's aspirations at this point? What is he trying to accomplish, do we think?
Staying alive,
so self-preservation thing, right? He understood the whole Jewish thing. Anybody else? Is he just self-survive?
I don't think he wants to be kicked out of
So he wants to maintain that component of his life, the synagogue. Again, calling someone a prophet would definitely feed into that. I think his heart is good. I mean, and then one of those verses, you say, do you want to be his disciples too? I don't think that was like sarcasm. I don't think that was like some slam. I think he honestly says, look, I am proof. I am living proof that God has done something miraculous. Don't you want to go along with me? But here's part of it that, unless you really were paying attention when we read it, might not have seen. He's in transition. So like back in verse 11, when there was asked, who did this to you? He said, the man called Jesus. He's not saying that now, right? And we don't know how many days this whole chapter 9 goes through. So he says, first it's Jesus, the guy, the man that they call Jesus. Now he's going, he's a prophet. So he's taken steps in his view of who Jesus was, right? And again, I think we see this. He has this desire for truth, but also to share it. Verses 18 and 20. We see this even. So the Pharisees get to the point that they are not happy with this investigation. They've tried everything that they can. They're still not believing that this guy was really blind. So they take it to the next level and enter the parents. So the Jews go to the parents and they said, look, is this really your son? Who can you, you're saying that he was born blind. How then does he see? I think at this point, the Pharisees' aspiration is absolutely pretty clear. Again, I think they are trying to maintain the rules. They're trying to hold on to what they think they know. And I think it points to a danger of being too rigid in our thinking. Now, let me preface that. Because I think in America, there are some churches that are not rigid enough. I think there's a sweet spot. I think we have to always be open to what God wants to teach us. Because again, I think if you can look back 10 years and you're exactly the same in your faith as you are now, there's something wrong. You have not let the Holy Spirit loose in your life. But I think when we're so stuck in what we think we know and we're pretty sure of that, I think that's, again, that pride issue of the Pharisees. I think that we see this here. And so they're stuck. And so it's here. But so the parents come in, right? And so they got the parents here. And the parents said, look, we know he's our boy. We have no idea how he was healed. And they're like, what? Their aspirations are what here?
They're
survival. It spells that out pretty sure. So they're like, he's an adult man. We're not going to talk to him. Because they might get kicked out of the synagogue, which wasn't just you're losing a place to worship, you're losing community, you're losing all these different things. But they're being driven by fear. You want another powerful thing that causes divergence in your life? It's fear. But over and over again in God's word, God tells us that we're not supposed to live with it. Fear is not supposed to be something that is involved in us deciding how to live and what to do. We're all guilty of that. God says, hey, I want this to do you. And we're like, ooh, no, 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 no. I don't have the resources. I don't have the talent. I don't have. And so God gives us our free will and says, man, you missed out on an opportunity. So instead of taking that arrow, we take this. And we diverge away from what God wants from us. God doesn't want us to live in fear. So the story goes on, right? So they get nowhere with the parents. The parents are like, nope, we're done. So they bring the guy back in again. But yet this time, I think their aspirations are just a little. They've come to the conclusion that he was blind. Now he sees. And so now they change their tactics, right? So what do? They can't argue away what happened. So what are they working on? They're trying to discredit Jesus at this point. We can't deny. I mean, if you're a good PR person, your first level of defense is what? Deny, deny, deny. Until enough evidence mounts against you, then you have to... Politicians are great at this, right? Avoid that, avoid that. Oh, so now they have the email. Now they have the stuff. So now then I have to put the spin on what that really means. And so here they are. So the Pharisees, well, okay. So God did a great thing. Give God the glory, but Jesus, he's a sinner. We know he's a sinner. So they're maintaining the party line. And what is, again, so then the blind man says what? I don't know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, you know what? I was blind, but now I see. So his aspiration is what? Look, he's going to tell the truth. His life has been radically, and again, we can't imagine being blind and then instantly seeing. Like last week, there's these videos popping up on social media of they have these glasses now that fix color blindness. And some guy who was in his 60s for his birthday, and they filmed this whole thing. And, you know, and so his whole life has been black and white. And he puts those, and he begins to weep because he's seen color. I mean, and that's just from black and white to color. In this guy, it wasn't just I couldn't see anything. His whole life was sitting on a street eating scraps of people that might give him something. He was society's low law. I mean, we have blind lawyers. We have Braille. You can do college. I mean, blindness, yeah, is definitely a deficiency. But compared to what it was now, I mean, this guy's whole world got blown away. And so he is so about truth-telling and giving credit where credit is due, regardless of the pressure that was put on him. This is another great example for us. We're called to live this faith out. I appreciated Dave's prayer this morning. He's obviously working with some individuals that he doesn't know, and he's going, Lord, have something in my life that would shine. That's all of us. All of us are out there, and our lives should be shining in such a way. But here's the thing. When someone asks you about the hope, or you have an opportunity to share with someone why you have the hope that you do, do you give credit where it's due? Man, you know, something bad happens, and you go through, and they go, man, you went through that way better than I thought. Yeah, because God's in my life. I mean, do we give God the credit? This guy, again, he knew the Pharisees. He knew what was at stake. They were going to kick him out. His life, he didn't care. He was going to give credit where credit was due. And then he goes on, right? Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opens my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He didn't have a whole lot of theology, but here he is, right? But he did listen to the one who worships him and obeys his will. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. I don't think this is a pride thing, right? You could almost look at this. He's got this sight. He's standing here. He's in the middle of all these Pharisees, these well-educated men. I don't think he's bragging at this point again. I think he's just giving credit. And what I love I see here, he wants them to get it. I truly think he's trying to sell them to the point where this is important and this is a God thing. And here's the thing. He is not allowing his lack of education, speaking skills, or station to stop him. We know that in this culture, all the little boys started off in school, and then as schooling went on, they kept cutting, making the cut. And when you didn't make the cut, then you went and applied a trade. And only those that went all the way through would become rabbis. This guy was blind. He didn't even make the first cut. He had no education. The only thing he knew how to do was to beg. He did not have the skill set to speak in such a way that these guys, the Pharisees, these are the educated. It did not matter. There's another sermon there. How often do we sell ourselves short? God puts us in a situation where we can share and we can speak, And yet, because of our fear, or because we don't think we bring something to the table, we keep our mouth shut and that opportunity flies by. Divergent aspirations. Every day, I would argue, we probably have those. And not all of them are spiritual in being, but with spouse and all those things. So we're done looking at that, but I want to point out just a couple other things in this scripture I think is important. So again, verses 35 and 38. And so we see this man kind of come full circle. Jesus heard that he had been driven out. So the synagogue, right? The Pharisees are done with him. They're sick and tired of hearing him proclaim the power of Jesus and his argument. So they just, you're out. You're done. So he's lost his church family. He's lost all that. And Jesus said, look, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. What did he start out, right? Some guy put mud in my eye. Well, who did that? He was a prophet. And now, he's Lord God. And so we see this wonderful transformation in this blind man. So not only was his eyes open, his physical eyes were open, but his spiritual eyes as well. I mean, we are seeing transformation. And this is why our aspiration needs to come in line with God's. God has purpose for you. God has plans for you. God has people in your life that he wants you to engage for him and love for him and speak truth in their lives and all those things. And every one of us at any given point stand and we have multiple paths in front of us. But there's only one best way that God wants us to take. The question for us, with that wonderful free will that we're gifted with, are we going to take it? Because again, all those things, and I would say there's things that I didn't even mention that cause us to fear, selling ourselves short, not wanting to stick out. All those things cause us to veer off God's path. We need to stay strong against those divergent things. Otherwise, we're going to sound like the Pharisees. And so this whole thing rolls out, right? This amazing thing. They sit and they listen to this guy. And at the end, so Jesus said, so he's talking, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see and those who do not see may become blind. What is he talking about? Jesus came to change the rules. The old system was gone. Just the following the rules and the sacrificial system and all that stuff. He came to change all this stuff. So he is talking about being able to see spiritually. And those people that thought they had it figured out, he is saying, look, they're blind. They don't see the truth. And so he's explaining this to this blind guy. There's obviously Pharisees right there who Jesus knew full well that were listening to what he had to say. And they go, well, we're not blind, are we? And Jesus says, if you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now know that you say, we see, your sin remains. They couldn't see their need. So here's the question that we're left with. Do you want to stumble through this world blind, or do you want your eyes opened by Christ? And for me, this goes way beyond salvation. Our first eye-opening experience is when God showed us for who we really were. A wretched sinner bonded into sin with no hope of escape, no way to get past ourselves, empty, unfulfilled, lacking true peace, true joy, true purpose. That was you, that was me. And so the Holy Spirit in his love came and he showed you yourself and said, but wait, that doesn't have to be who you are. And when we come to the cross, we bow our knee, we accept that gift of salvation, our eyes are open. That's the beginning. But I would argue that every day our eyes need to be open so that we see this world, we see people like Christ does. Otherwise, again, the things of this world, the enemy of our souls, is a master at divergence. And he throws all these things in us and we can veer off so easily. That's what the world we live in. And when that happens, just like that blind man, we cheat ourselves out of true life and true sight. My prayer for you is that you don't allow the enemy to put those blinders on you. That you would daily seek God's power to help you truly see not only what's going on around you, but that he would give you the heart to follow him and that he would have the power to choose his path. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for your amazing love and your goodness. Lord, we did nothing. We don't deserve anything that you did for us. And yet, your incredible love caused Jesus to die on the cross, took on our sin, paid the penalty, the whole nine. And when we come to you, you give us true life. You give us salvation. You give us eternal hope. You give us peace. You give us joy. You give us so very much. And Lord, you have those plans for us. And Lord, we confess more often than not, or more often than we want to admit, we choose our own way and we get diverted and we take our own paths. And you allow us to do that. So just for all of us, my prayer was that during this sermon that you would show some specific things to people, that they would see maybe where they are on a path that's not from you, and that you would invite them and woo them to be back on with you, Lord. We want to see with your eyes. We want to love with your hearts, with your heart, and we need your power to be in order to do that, Lord. So we just confess that, and we come expectant, knowing that you have that power that you can unleash in our lives, and that's what we ask for. We ask this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.